Welcome to the OCR GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most important and rewarding topics on the specification, human rights and freedom. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final push before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need, the key concepts, the quotes, the exam technique, and a quick-fire quiz at the end. Let's get started. So, why does this topic matter? Human rights and freedom sits at the heart of the OCR Religious Studies course because it asks a genuinely fascinating question. Where do our rights come from? Are they given to us by God, or are they a human invention? And when religious teachings and secular law disagree about rights, who wins? These are the kinds of questions that examiners love, and they're the questions we're going to explore together today. Let's begin with the foundations. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the UDHR, was adopted by the United Nations in 1948 in the aftermath of the Second World War and the Holocaust. Article 1 states, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights." This is a secular, legal document, but here's what's interesting for religious studies. Many of the values it expresses are also found in religious teachings. Your job in the exam is to show how religious beliefs both support and sometimes challenge these secular standards. Now, let's look at the Christian perspective. The foundational concept here is imago Dei, a Latin phrase meaning image of God. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which states, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." This single verse is one of the most powerful tools in your exam toolkit. It tells us that every human being, regardless of race, gender, or background, has inherent dignity because they bear God's image. This is why Christians argue that human rights are not just a legal nicety, they are a theological necessity. To violate someone's rights is to dishonor the image of God in them. Another key Christian text is Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, written by the Apostle Paul. "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This verse is incredibly versatile. You can use it to support arguments about racial equality, gender equality, and freedom from discrimination. Examiners will credit you for linking specific texts directly to specific rights. Now, let's turn to Islam. The Islamic concept of the Ummah, the global community of Muslims, is central here. The Ummah teaches that all Muslims are brothers and sisters, equal before Allah. This creates a strong basis for human rights within the Muslim community. But Islam also teaches that all humans are created by Allah and therefore deserve respect. The Quran, Surah 49, verse 13, states, "O mankind, indeed, we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another." This verse emphasizes human diversity as divinely intended, a powerful argument against discrimination. The concept of khalifa, stewardship, is also important. Muslims believe humans are Allah's stewards on earth, which means they have a responsibility to uphold justice and protect the rights of others. The Prophet Muhammad's farewell sermon, delivered in 632 CE, declared, "All mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab over an Arab. A white person has no superiority over a black person, nor a black person over a white person, except by piety and good action." This is a remarkable statement of human equality from the 7th century, and it's well worth memorizing for the exam. Now, here's a critical distinction that many candidates miss, and it costs them marks. There is a difference between freedom of religion and freedom from religion. Freedom of religion, protected by Article 18 of the UDHR, is the right to practice, change, and express your religious beliefs. Most religious people strongly support this. Freedom from religion, however, is the right not to have any religion imposed on you, the right to be atheist, agnostic, or simply non-religious. This is where tension arises. Some religious groups, particularly more conservative or fundamentalist traditions, struggle with the idea that the state should be entirely neutral on matters of faith. They might argue that a truly just society should be guided by God's law. Secular thinkers, on the other hand, argue that in a diverse society, no single religion should have the power to impose its values on others. This tension is exactly what examiners want you to explore. High-level answers, the ones that reach level 5 and 6 on the mark scheme, will show internal diversity within religious traditions. For example, liberal Christians might fully embrace secular human rights frameworks, seeing them as consistent with the gospel. Conservative Christians might argue that some rights, such as the right to same-sex marriage, conflict with biblical teaching. Similarly, progressive Muslims might champion gender equality as consistent with the Quran's message, while more traditional scholars might interpret certain texts differently. The key is to show that religions are not monolithic. They contain debates and disagreements, just like secular society. Let's now talk about key individuals. This is where many candidates lose marks by writing biographies instead of analysis. Remember, examiners don't want a life story. They want to know what theological motivation drove this person's activism and what impact they had. Martin Luther King Jr., who lived from 1929 to 1968, is the most important figure for this topic. King was a Baptist minister. His faith was not incidental to his activism, it was the engine of it. He drew directly on the concept of Imago Dei to argue that racial segregation was a sin, not just a social problem. He used the Christian concept of agape, unconditional love, to justify nonviolent protest. His letter from Birmingham Jail, written in 1963, is a masterclass in theological argumentation for human rights. He wrote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." In the exam, don't just say King fought for civil rights. Say, King's belief in Imago Dei, that every person bears the image of God, compelled him to challenge laws that treated Black Americans as less than fully human. His Montgomery bus boycott of 1955 and the Civil Rights Act of 1964 were the practical fruits of this theological conviction. Oscar Romero, Archbishop of El Salvador, who lived from 1917 to 1980, is another essential figure. Romero was initially a conservative churchman, but witnessing the brutal oppression of the poor in El Salvador transformed him. He became a champion of liberation theology, the idea that the church must take a preferential option for the poor, actively working to change unjust social structures. He used his radio broadcasts to speak out against government death squads. He was assassinated while celebrating Mass in 1980. His example shows how Christian faith can motivate radical social action. He was canonized as a saint by Pope Francis in 2018. Malala Yousafzai, born in 1997, is a contemporary example from an Islamic perspective. Shot by the Taliban in 2012 for advocating girls' education, Malala grounded her activism in Islamic values. She argued that Islam commands the pursuit of knowledge, a reference to the famous hadith, "Seek knowledge even unto China." Her address to the United Nations in 2013, at just 16 years old, drew on both Islamic teaching and universal human rights language. She's a powerful example of how religious belief can motivate the defense of rights even under extreme persecution. Now let's move to exam tips and common mistakes. I'm going to be very direct here because these are the things that separate a grade 7 from a grade 5. Common mistake number 1, conflating human rights with general kindness. Many candidates write something like, "Christians believe in the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated, so they support human rights." This is too vague. You need specific terminology. Imago Dei, Umma, UDHR Article 1, Khalifa. Examiners are looking for precise, theological vocabulary, not general moral sentiments. Common mistake number 2, discussing the wrong religion. If the question says, "Explain Muslim teachings on human rights," and you write about Christianity, you will not receive credit for that material. Always read the question, stem carefully, and stick to the religion specified. Common mistake number 3, biography instead of analysis. If you're asked, "How effectively did religious individuals promote human rights?" don't tell the story of Martin Luther King's life. Instead, analyze, what was his theological motivation? What methods did he use? How effective were they? What were the limitations? This is the analytical approach that earns marks in the higher levels. For 15-mark discuss questions, use the FARM structure. F stands for 4. Give arguments in favor of the statement. A stands for against. Give arguments against. R stands for religious divergence. Show internal diversity within traditions. M stands for my conclusion. Give a clear, justified judgment. Allocate 15 to 20 minutes for these questions. That's roughly 1 minute per mark, plus planning time. Remember, AO1 and AO2 are equally weighted at 50% each. AO1 is knowledge and understanding, knowing your facts, quotes, and concepts. AO2 is analysis and evaluation, being able to argue, weigh up evidence, and reach a judgment. Many candidates are strong on AO1, but weak on AO2. make sure every paragraph ends with an evaluative comment, not just a factual statement. Now it's time for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what does Imago Dei mean and which biblical verse is it from? Think. The answer is image of God from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Question two, what is the Ummah? Think. The answer is the global community of Muslims, emphasizing brotherhood and equality. Question three, name two articles of the UDHR relevant to religious freedom. Think. Article 1, all humans born free and equal. Article 18, freedom of religion or belief. Question 4, what theological concept motivated Martin Luther King Jr.'s activism? Think, Imago Dei, the belief that every person bears the image of God combined with agape, unconditional love. Question 5, what is the difference between freedom of religion and freedom from religion? Think, freedom of religion is the right to practice your faith. Freedom from religion is the right not to have any religion imposed on you. How did you do? If you got all five, you're in great shape. If you struggled, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary. Human rights and freedom is a topic that rewards candidates who can do three things. First, use precise theological vocabulary. Imago Dei, Ummah, Khalifa, liberation theology. Second, cite specific texts. Genesis 1 verse 27, Galatians 3 verse 28, Surah 49 to 13, UDHR Article 1 and Article 18. Third, evaluate with nuance, show internal religious diversity, distinguish between freedom of and freedom from religion, and always reach a clear justified conclusion. The most versatile quote you can memorize is UDHR Article 1 alongside Genesis 1 verse 27. Together, they show how secular and religious frameworks can arrive at the same conclusion, that every human being has inherent dignity through very different roots. That's the kind of synoptic thinking that earns top marks. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Remember, know your quotes, analyze, don't describe, and always reach a conclusion. See you next time.